Well, good morning to you all. Thank you again for this opportunity to share God's Word with you guys today. Let's go ahead and pray and we'll get started. Mighty God, we give you thanks for the day. Thank you for all that you bless us with. You blessed us with your Word. And I pray for your Holy Spirit to open your Word to us today and that we would be more like you. We thank you. Amen. So today, we're going to talk about what our song was just about, the Word of God, but more than that, about meditating on the Word. For some review of last week's lesson, we talked about clearing up our conscience and that being done through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. We talked about if we're going to win the battle to be holy, we need to start with our heart. We read a quote from John MacArthur, "True holiness must begin on the inside, and the conscience is the primary contact point for that internal reformation." We looked at our home base verses for standing firm, which were 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the gospel in which you stand. That gospel is our first importance. And did you notice Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures? He was obedient to the word to his death. Christ, while he was being tempted in the wilderness, used scripture to rebuke the devil, and the devil twisted the truths of scripture. Jesus used the truths of scripture to combat Satan. He knew God's word. Today we're going to look at the intake of the Word of God in our lives, but more than that, meditating on the Word. We'll look at some examples of meditating on God and His Word in standing firm. Let's take a look now at Genesis 39, 1 through 23. And in your notes, we have the little biblical trail map we're going to go through today. So let's look at Genesis 39, 1 through 23. Which is all of the chapter. So, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph. So he became a successful man as he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord had caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. And it came about from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and it came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is only one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph, day after day, he did not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew to us to make sport of us, and he came in to me to lie with me, and I screamed. And when he heard that I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside." So she left his garment beside her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with these words, "The Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came in to me to make sport of me. And as I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." Now when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spoke to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended his kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And the chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail. So whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. And the chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. So we see in this story, it's only by Joseph living for God could he flee in this situation. He had meditated on the greatness of God. Did you note his focus in verse 9? "How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" That takes a lot of meditating on God. Take notice in verse 10, she is trying to wear Joseph down, his defenses, day after day. Ask yourself, do you prepare yourself for a daily assault on your faith? He did not listen to her. Verse 12, she grabs him by his garment. He fled. As Christians, we're called to flee the appearance of evil, to flee immorality in 1 Corinthians 6:18, to flee idolatry in 1 Corinthians 10:14, to flee youthful lust in 2 Timothy 2:22, and to flee the love of money in 1 Corinthians 6:10 and 11. Notice Joseph, he pays the cost for his standing firm and not sin against God. And God watches over him, as we saw, and blessed him even in prison. Let's take a look at Proverbs 2:10-18. Proverbs 2:10-18. Verses 10-18 say, "For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil and from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leaves the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, and to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves a companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her tracks lead to the dead." Then look at Proverbs 5:3-8. Says, "For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, and sharp as a two-edged sword, and her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold of Sheol. And she does not ponder the path of life, and her ways are unstable, and she does not know it." So we see in these sections, have you ever noticed when you read through Proverbs, it mentions the adulteress the first thing in the first 9 chapters? It's a stressed point to you men to guard your heart your mind and stand firm in your faith. We see wisdom versus the adulteress. Israel was called the adulteress when they did not heed God's words of instructions and went their own ways. As you do your daily reading, do you check out in your reading, how did they stand firm? Why did they fail and fall? And when did it happen? Some key points to remember to speak to your heart through the Holy Spirit as you do your daily reading. Let's look at another example in Scripture, and this one is one of my favorite. It's in Joshua 5, 13 through 15, and part of chapter 6. Let's take a look at that. Joshua 5, 13 through 15. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" He said, "No, rather I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, and with its king and the valiant warriors. You shall march around the city, all the men of war, circling the city once, and you shall do so for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall be that when they make a long blast at the ram's horns, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, and every man straight ahead." So, pretty amazing story. And take note of Joshua's actions. He moves forward to this man with a drawn sword. I mean, who among us is going to go and up to a guy with a drawn sword and say, "Are you for us or against us?" That's pretty pretty amazing. And he challenges him. That is really interesting. Notice in verse 14, his obedience. He fell on his face, bowed down, and says, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" We see humility and obedience. And this is a pre-incarnate picture of Christ here, because he did not say, do not worship me. He bowed down and worshiped. And so that's a pretty amazing section. And his obedience is quick and immediate. So let's look back at Joshua 1, 5 through 9, and see why he was quick to obey. And here's what it says in chapter 1, 5 through 9. It says, the Lord's talking to Joshua, "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you, and I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So you can tell from the results of what the section we read earlier that he has been meditating on God and the Word of God by his actions. His obedience is immediate. He's been strong and courageous. I mean, like just like we said, who's going to walk up to a guy with a drawn sword? That's a pretty amazing picture. And so it's just interesting, his meditating on God's Word. And it's very important to keep meditating on the Word. So let's take a look at what the OED, that's the Oxford English Dictionary, defines as meditating. One, to muse over or reflect upon, to consider, to study or ponder. B, to fix one's attention upon, to observe with interest or intentness. C, to occupy oneself in song or poetry. 2, to plan by revolving in the mind, to conceive, plan, or design mentally. 3, to entertain as an opinion, to think. 4, to exercise the mental faculties in thought or contemplation. And the OED also gives us the first time the word was used. In 1560, in the Geneva Bible, in Psalm 1:2, and in his law he meditateth day and night. It's so important to keep meditating on the Word of God. I found some good information about Bible intake from the book Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life by Donald S. Whitney, forward by J.I. Packer. He compares Bible reading with planting a tree in our mind, and we make the tree our own and enjoy its fruit. That fruit is brought to mind by the indwelling Holy Spirit to bring our attention when needed most. Remember, Jesus used Scripture as his first weapon against Satan in the wilderness. And so many places in God's Word, we are called to remember, to meditate, to ponder, to consider, to muse, to think on. And probably the greatest section on meditating on God's Word is Psalm 119. 119:24 says, "Your statutes are my delight, they are my counselors." And remember, last week we looked at Ephesians 6:10-18, the whole armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. How can the Holy Spirit give us a weapon if you have not stored it in your mind? Think about it. Here's yourself in the middle of a decision, needing guidance, or struggling with a strong temptation, and you need victory. The Holy Spirit rushes to the mental arsenal you have stored and flings open the door. And from the list you've stored, he finds only John 3:16, Genesis 1:1, and the Great Commission. These are great verses, but so much more is in the Word of God to help you win the battles against Satan's schemes. And he can bring so much more to bear if we put store and meditate on the Word of God. It's only through meditating and memorizing God's Word and hiding it in our heart do we have ready access to the strength of these weapons. Our goal in our Christian life is to be more like Christ. That can only be done by our transforming our minds, our inner and outer life, by meditating and memorizing the Word and acting on it. Today in the world, when it thinks on meditation, what comes to mind? Anybody?
Transcendental meditation.
Yeah.
Eastern religion.
What else? What do they talk about meditating?
Inside yourself.
Yeah. Say again?
Look inside yourself.
Anybody else? There's one more thing.
Emptying
your mind. Did you notice when we read the definition of meditation, it did not say anything about emptying your mind. Meditating is about filling your mind. You cannot think on nothing. I'll repeat that. You cannot think on nothing. When you think, you're thinking on something, even if you're zoning out. We're, as Christians, to think on things that are true in Philippians 4:8, the truth of God's word. Meditation is deep thinking on the truths of God's word for the purpose of you becoming more Christ-like. Your meditating on God's word needs to go beyond just reading your Bible for the day and checking it off our list. Ask yourself, what did I just read? Do I truly remember? Is there one verse that sticks out? In the book on spiritual disciplines for the Christian life, he uses an analogy of a cup of tea. My wife is kind of partial to this example. You are the cup of hot water, and the Word of God, the tea bag. Hearing God's Word is like one dip of the tea bag. Some of the tea's flavor is absorbed by the water, but not as much as would be occur with more thorough soaking of the bag. In this analogy, reading and studying, memorizing the word, are additional plunges into the cup by the tea bag. The more the tea bag enters the water, the more effect it has. Meditating, though, is like immersing the bag completely and letting it steep until all the rich tea flavor has been extracted and the hot water is thoroughly colored reddish brown. Also, have you ever noticed that the English call it tea time? It takes time to make tea. To be thoroughly steeped in God's word takes time. It takes slowing your life down to turn the reddish brown from the tea bag. Remember, John Zimmer's been sharing in Ecclesiastes on time. There's a time to be busy and a time to slow down. That time is the intake of God's word. To slow down and savor the flavor of the truths of God's word. Remember, God made time, man makes haste. I'll repeat that. God made time, man makes haste. If our intake of the word seems unfruitful and cold and little success in our spiritual life, moving up and to the right, as our pastor says, maybe we are not being warmed in our heart and soul by the fire of meditating on the word, as Puritan pastor Thomas Watson said. Our Friday night fellowship group went through Psalm 1 a few weeks ago. Psalm 1:2 says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Think about what you delight in. You get done what you delight in. You get done what you delight in. Sometimes we might need to check our priorities of what they are. Remember, God's word is of first importance. And as our home base verse says, the gospel of first importance, of whom we stand in. Psalm 1:3 talks about the results of a believer meditating on the word, a thriving fruit tree with fruit to be enjoyed. One writer said it plainly, they usually thrive best who meditate most. Are you searching the scriptures daily for verses that help you to stand firm? Are you able to pick beautiful fruit from the tree of God's word you've put in your heart? Your daily input is of first importance. It will be a guide to your prayer life also. As you read, you need to be asking ourselves questions. How am I to respond to this scripture? What would God have me to do with this word? We need to be searching, how does this apply to me? Remember, we're not to be hearers only, but doers also, as it says in James 1:22. Meditating is not complete without some type of application. One of the key things on meditating on the word is prayer. Are you praying the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 119, 18? Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Meditation on the word always involves the two of you, you and the Holy Spirit. Praying for the Holy Spirit to enlighten God's word to you is absolute key to your growing in Christ's likeness. We cannot see truth without the Holy Spirit's work in us. Do you read God's word with anticipation, expectantly to get something out of it? Are you excited and ready for a truth to be revealed by the Holy Spirit's work to you? Thomas Watson, a Puritan writer, said, "We take every word spoken as to yourselves. When the word thunders against sin, think thus, God means my sins. When it presenteth any duty, God intends me in this." Many put off scripture from themselves as if it only concerned those who lived in the time when it was written. But if you intend to profit by the word, bring it home to yourselves. A medicine will do no good unless applied. End of quote. Words of scripture must be understood to be applied, but until we apply them, we don't really understand them. If we read and hear or study God's word without meditating on it, it's no wonder applying scripture to situations is so difficult. We receive so much information each day, but by meditating on the word, the truth of the word remains and percolates in our heart and in our mind. We smell the aroma more fully and taste it better as it brews in our brain. The insights come through the Holy Spirit's teaching us. Our heart is heated by meditating and truths revealed to turn to obedient action. Pray, help me, Lord, to commit to the action of your word. In our daily study of God's word, we should be praying, show me a response I should make to your word. Without seeking a daily response, our growth in Christ's likeness will be impeded. J.I. Packer said this about the discipline of applying God's word. If I were the devil, one of my first aims would be to stop folks from digging into the Bible, knowing that it's the word of God teaching men to know and love and serve the God of the word. I should do all I could to surround it with spiritual equivalent of pits, thorn hedges, and man traps to frighten people off. At all costs, I should want to keep them from using their minds in a disciplined way to get the measure of its message. End of quote. So now let's go to table time, and we're going to look at Psalm 119. And I'd like to divide the room in half. So this half, will you guys look up verses 1 through 88, and this half start with verses 89 to 76, because there's quite a bit there. And then look at your questions, and we'll share and at the end. Thank you. Yeah, all the verses in 119. And if you get done fairly quickly, you can start and switch, but I'd like you to start with half. Thank you. Well, let's get back together and share some of the verses you came up with. Ray, how about your table? What were some of the verses in Psalm 119?
All of them. Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's a good one, though. Verse 56, this has become mine that I observe your precepts.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't say meditate.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, there's all throughout this whole psalm, there's a lot of thinking words. Jim, how about your table? Anything?
About every other verse. We get to verse 24.
Uh-huh.
We jump ahead to 35. So make me walk in the path of your commandments.
Uh-huh.
Light in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Ed, anything from your table?
Well, classic verse, right? Verse 11. The word I have treasured in my heart.
He's
something that we're in touch with all the time in our lives, every moment of every day.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
that's what we do with treasure, right?
Yeah. We need to treasure the word of God to help us to stand firm. Dave, how about your table?
There were a few ideas. Verse 112 says, I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. I always like that phrase, I incline her heart.
Uh-huh.
It seems to include both thought and your will or your heart.
Okay.
And Chris has one that she liked, verse 148.
Oh, it says, my eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on your word.
Yeah, we kind of looked at that one too. The anticipate the night watches. We talked about it kind of slowing down your life. John Williams, how about your table?
Like Ray, you know, what's not applicable, but the very first one you gave is 89. The word of God is settled forever. It is a sure foundation upon which you can stand.
Amen to that.
There's nothing better than the Word of God. Mm-hmm. All throughout this, it exudes His love for God's law as more than life itself.
Mm-hmm. Mark, how about you?
To echo 89, 160, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever.
Mm-hmm.
144, your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live.
Mm-hmm. There's so much in this psalm that you could go on for quite some time. And I think it's one reason John Zimmer starts this psalm as our reading of Scripture at the start of each year, because the Word of God is so important to our standing firm. I was looking at some of the thinking words or phrases in here as I was looking at this psalm. Verse 56, this has become mine, the joy of my heart, verse 111, great peace, Psalm 165. Some of the thinking words, remembered, muse, reflect, ponder, long for, consider, study, observe, contemplate, trust in, think on, look upon, delight in, not forget, I believe, hope in, understand, keep it, incline, and some that were talked about just at our table, perceive, understand, love your law, long for your word, and have regard. There's a lot of thinking going on in here, and it's so important to be meditating on the word. Let's look at one last story from the Word of God. Let's look at Genesis 22. And this story, as Christians, is pretty amazing. We'll just kind of look over it. It's chapter 22, the offering of Abraham, offering Isaac. And he's being tested by God to offer his son, his only son, the son he has been promised. And you got to know that Abraham has been meditating on God before this trip and all during this trip. I mean, there is no way you're going to do all these actions without meditating on God this whole time as he's doing this thing. And the trust and obedience are truly on display in this story. And verses 7 and 8, you know, Abraham has been doing nothing but thinking on God right now. His son asking him, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice, for the burnt offering? And then his reply, God will provide for himself the lamb. And they walk on together, father and son. I mean, that is such a picture. You got to know he's doing the deepest thinking he's ever been done in his life, meditating on God. Verses 9 through 12, they come to the place and he binds his son and lays him on the altar and is ready to slay his son, and the angel stops him. And just an amazing picture of God testing him and his obedience. And the reply now, it says, now I know that you fear the Lord. And he stood firm in his faith. And verse 18, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, for he stood firm in his faith. And we are blessed because he stood firm in his faith. What an amazing picture that is of standing firm. You know, he didn't bow to pressure of you know, like peer pressure. It was really important for you to have a son back then. And he was ready to slay his only son, which is truly, truly amazing. And you can just tell he's been thinking on nothing about having close communion with God as he's walking on this trip. So let's close in prayer again with one of the Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision. And this was from page 14, called God Honored. It says, O God, praise waiteth for thee, and to render it is my noblest exercise. This is thy due from all thy creatures, for all thy works display thy attributes and fulfill thy designs. The sea, dry land, winter cold, summer heat, morning light and evening shade are full of thee, and thou givest me them richly to enjoy. Thou art King of kings and Lord of lords, and at thy pleasure empires rise and fall. All thy works praise thee, and thy saints bless thee. Let me be numbered with thy holy ones. Resemble them in character and condition, and sit with them at Jesus' feet. May my religion be always firmly rooted in thy word, and my understanding divinely informed, my affections holy and heavenly, my motives simple and pure, and my heart never wrong with thee. Deliver me from the natural darkness of my own mind, from the corruptions of my heart, from the temptations which I am exposed, from the daily snares that attend me. I am in constant danger while I am in this life. Let thy watchful eye ever be upon me for my defense. Save me from the power of my worldly and spiritual enemies, and from all painful evils to which I have exposed myself. Until the day of life dawns above, let there be unrestrained fellowship with Jesus. Until fruition comes, may I employ the earnest of my inheritance and the first fruits of the Spirit. Until I finish my course with joy, may I pursue it with diligence. In every part, display the resources of the Christian and adorn the doctrine of thee, my God, in all things. Thank you, mighty God, for your time in your word today. May we continue and grow in meditating on your word, pondering on your greatness, and becoming more like you. Thank you. Amen.